willing to hold talks with the United States, Russia, China, Great Britain, Germany, France, and several nations in regard to their nuclear ambitions, and that they would like to meet in the country of Turkey. Turkey more and more is becoming a focal point, a fulcrum for those who are the power brokers in the Middle East, and there's a very good reason for that if you understand the Bible, and that is because Turkey is one of the major players in the end time prophecy. And out of that nation, from the midst of Magog, comes the man that will attempt to rule the world, that will claim that he is God, and that will demand that all who do not worship him and bow down to his image, that they will die a terrible death. They will not be able to buy or sell without his mark or his name or the number of his name. So it was interesting this week that came out in the news. But I would like to begin reading tonight from the book of 2 Peter. If you have your Bibles and would stand, we'll just have you stand briefly and then you may be seated again. I know that you've already been standing for quite some time, so don't want to wear you out here tonight. 2 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to be reading verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. And then we want to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Praise the Lord. God bless you, and you may be seated. The Bible talks about a period of time when Israel will make a covenant with a ruler. The Bible calls it a covenant with death or a pact with Sheol. And that is recorded in Isaiah chapter 28, verses 15 and verse 18. That because of Israel's unbelief and their intellectual and their spiritual blindness, they will look to a seemingly invincible leader to be their protector. And they will quickly develop a false sense of security. The Bible says when men shall say peace and safety, that sudden destruction cometh. Thus it's going to be a time of Israel's ultimate unfaithfulness, and a time that will result in Israel's greatest apostasy. This apostasy is referred to in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. This is the only time in the New Testament that this word apostasy appears. However, it appears elsewhere in the apocryphal book of Maccabees regarding a period in which Israel has a persecutor by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes. And Antiochus is seen to be an antitype of the Antichrist. In the record of 1 Maccabees, in 1 Maccabees chapter 1, verse 11, this is what is read. In those days there arose out of Israel lawless men who persuaded many, saying, let us go and make a treaty with the heathen around us. For ever since the time we became separated from them, many misfortunes have overtaken us. This plan seemed good in their eyes, and so they began to eagerly look forward to embracing the Hellenistic traditions of Antiochus Epiphanes. They built a gymnasium in Jerusalem, and in the heathen fashion, and they submitted to uncircumcision and disowned the holy covenant of God. And they aligned themselves with the heathen and became slaves to a foreign power. This was referred to in Maccabees as the apostasy. And such an apostasy, the Bible speaks, will happen before the great and terrible day of the Lord. It is referred to as a falling away. But the article there in the Greek is not an oblique form of an, but it specifically has the article the, referring to a specific apostasy. And it should be rendered the apostasy. This apostasy is a removal of Israel from their values in the Word of God and in the covenant relationship that they have known with the Lord. And they will make a covenant with death. Isaiah said, your covenant with death, your pact with Sheol shall not stand. That they, thinking that they are buying themselves time, that they are entering into a new era of peace and prosperity, they will put faith in a man that the Bible tells us is of the devil, that his design is to destroy the people of God. Isaiah wrote, and we read from Isaiah 28, verses 14 and 15, therefore hear the word of the Lord, O scoffers who rule this people who are in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we have made a pact. They deceive themselves in believing that the overwhelming scourge will not reach us when it passes by. For we have made falsehood our refuge, and we have concealed ourselves with deception. One of the great fears right now in Israel is of a nuclear attack, that they are surrounded with many enemies who would like to see the end of the Jewish nation. And so Israel is right now very vulnerable politically to some kind of security arrangement, which the Bible says they will make. They will make a covenant, and the Antichrist will confirm that covenant with them for 1 week, according to Daniel 9 and 27. But in the midst of that week, in the midst of the week, he will break the covenant that he made. And he will invade the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. And he will set up an image to a foreign god, an image to himself. And he will declare himself to be God and to be their Messiah. And so we are very quickly, we are moving toward that, we are in a countdown to the end of the age. Rapidly, things are happening that tell us that we are nearing the very end of time, when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back and redeem his people, the church, and to establish a people in the land of Israel that will acknowledge him and that worship him as Lord and as Christ. The seven seals of the book of Revelation are the conditions that must be met before the seals can be broken. You see, the seals, if you look at the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 6, the Bible says that there was a book and that it was sealed with seven seals. That book was literally a scroll. And all scrolls are sealed on the outside. And before the contents of that of a scroll can be examined, before they can be revealed, the seals must be broken. There are, it's not one seal, but there are seven seals upon the book, the Bible says, or the scroll as it is more properly understood. And the Bible said that they could find no man that was worthy to open that book. And they were very sad. If you go to the book of Revelation, they were sad because no one, they could find no one that was worthy to open the book and to break the seals. But there was one that stepped forward. In Revelation, the one that stepped forward was the Lamb of God. Amen. The Lamb of God, the one that was upon the throne, the Lamb was worthy to open the scroll. Amen. But we see that that Lamb who was worthy to open the scroll, that was to reveal, amen, the things that would come to pass, the Bible refers to him as a lion. That the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Let's go to the book of Revelation. That the Lamb that shed his blood, that allowed you and I the opportunity to find salvation, he was found worthy to open the book. And I saw, chapter 5 of Revelation, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Until those seven seals are broken, and those the conditions that are met before God can pour out his wrath upon the earth. Because God is a just God. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. Before God will pour out judgment, amen, the conditions must be met of the seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David." Now, beforehand, he was called the Lamb of God. And he was seen sitting on the throne of God. But now, we see him as a lion. Because he first came as the Lamb of God. John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." That he first comes as a lamb. A lamb without spot and without blemish. But when he comes in the book of Revelation, in the day of the Lord, he does not come as a lamb, but he comes as a lion. He comes to bring judgment. And so whenever we see the symbol of the lion, this is the same one that was called the Lamb of God. And now we see him proclaimed to be a lion of the root of David. He hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And so, the fact that the Lamb of God was one worthy to open the book, but he comes not as a lamb, but as a lion, tells us that the purpose of the seven sealed book are the judgments of God upon unrepentant humanity. That when the conditions of the seven seals are met, then God will pour out his wrath. In fact, the wrath of God is not mentioned until the breaking of the sixth seal in Revelation chapter 6. And the breaking of the seventh seal reveals the coming of seven angels who have trumpets, which will proclaim the judgments of God, the wrath of God upon a world that has rejected Him as their Lord and as their Savior. And so before the wrath of God can begin, that before God can mete out His judgment upon the unrighteous nations of the world, the seals of the scroll must be broken. They must be broken and the conditions of the scroll met. Because when the seventh seal is broken, the scroll is opened, and the judgments of God will be poured out upon a world of ungodliness. I thank God that the church of the living God is not appointed unto wrath, but we're appointed unto salvation. Amen. And so the things that happen after the breaking of the seals are not to the church, but they are to the unregenerate world that God will judge in His righteous judgment, raining fire and brimstone upon a world of sin. The Bible tells us, for it is a time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is with the difficulty that the righteous be saved, or the King James says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? That judgment begins with a household of faith. That God is going to purge the church. God is not going to have a weak church. God's going to have a church that is strong. God is going to have a church that's been through the fire. God is going to have a church that has withstood the test. Amen. And it's going to be a church without a spot and without a wrinkle. Can you say praise the Lord? So the first four seals, we're going to look at the first four seals and the four living creatures that as God begins to oversee the events of the seals, amen, that the Bible calls these birth pains. These are the beginning of birth pains because God is getting ready to deliver a church out of this world. God is getting ready to deliver a people, amen, that are holy and righteous in His sight. The Old Testament confirms that these living creatures, which the Bible calls the beast, that these living creatures are beasts. Their description is very much like the seraphim that we find in the book of Isaiah, the 6th chapter. And as in the Revelation account, in Revelation chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, we find that they have six wings, that they surround the throne of God, and they call out to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts." So these living creatures are seraphim, are heavenly angels who proclaim the holiness of God. Amen. We emphasize this because the Bible says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." So it's interesting that the seraphim are the ones that introduce these seals. That Christ, the Lion, amen, is the one that prevails. In verse 1, the Lion is called the Lamb. "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals." Now remember, in verse number 5, amen, the Bible says that it was the Lion of the tribe of Judah that prevailed to open the seals. But here in verse 1 of chapter 6, the Lion is called the Lamb. Now this is not introducing another person in the Godhead. Amen. This is not producing another personality. But this is the same Lord and Savior, amen, Jesus Christ, who's coming back, amen, for His people, amen, that are looking for His appearing. The Bible says the lion prevailed, but it's the lamb that we see opening the first seal. Amen. And we hear the announcement. Amen. And I saw when the lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts, or one of the four living creatures, the seraphim, said, come and see. So we see that these seraphim are involved in the opening and the breaking of the seals. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now we know that Christ Jesus is coming back at the end of the age. He's coming back at the battle of Armageddon with the host of heaven, and with the angels of God, and with the saints of God, that he's coming back against the Antichrist. But this is not the Lord Jesus Christ, but this at the beginning of the 70th week is one who claims to be a Messiah. The Bible says that there would be many false messiahs, that there would be many false Christs and many false prophets before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Amen. This is not the day of the Lord. This is not the wrath of God. This is not His judgment, which is not poured out until after the breaking of the seals. But this is a false Christ. This is an imposter who comes on a white horse, that he comes to deceive. The devil is subtle. The Bible says that the devil appears as an angel of light. And here he comes conquering and to conquer. And this opening of the seals is in conjunction with the seraphim, the heavenly angels, whose only function is to proclaim the holiness of God. I want you to know, if you're going to be ready for the rapture of the church, you're going to have to live a holy, overcoming life. He's coming back for a holy church, for a sanctified bride. Amen. That's clothed in white raiment. Praise God. Amen. The seraphim. Amen. Isaiah, when he saw these same seraphim in Isaiah chapter 6, the Bible says that Isaiah said, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to take the message, because I'm a man of unclean lips. He felt unholy. He felt unworthy in the presence of God and in the presence of His holy angels. And the Bible says one of the seraphim went with a tong, and with those tongs he took a live coal from the altar of God, and he touched the lips of Isaiah and purged him so that he might be able to proclaim the word of God. I want you to know, God is looking for people, amen, that will be holy, that will proclaim His truth, and will proclaim His word in these last days. Praise God. Amen. We are called to be a holy people. Amen. And so why the judgment? Because judgment begins at the house of God. And it first begins with us. Where should the sinner and the ungodly? Because God wants to purify the church. Amen. God wants the church to be holy. Amen. Brother Ferguson mentioned rubbing shoulders with the world every day. How many of you feel a little bit, amen, like you've been rubbing shoulders with the world today? You're just being in the world. You feel like you've been contaminated. Just touching the things of the world, amen, makes you feel unclean. Amen. God wants us, amen, to live a holy, overcoming life. Amen. We need to be sanctified, set apart. That's why the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Amen. So God is getting a church ready. Paul explains to the church at Thessalonica the reason for persecution. Amen. It's not because God hates us, amen, that the church suffers tribulation. In fact, the Bible says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials. Amen. That if you're not tried and tested, the Bible says that then you are bastards and not sons. Because those that He loveth, He chasteneth. We're the children of God. Amen. And as children of God, God wants us, amen, to be holy and righteous. Amen. Paul, speaking to the Thessalonican church, said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and let's read that again. Amen. For your perseverance, he proudly speaks proudly of them, for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering. The Bible says you're going to be hated of all nations for His name's sake. And so if you're popular with the world, then maybe you need to re-examine, amen, who you belong to. Because they hated Jesus. And if they hated and they persecuted your Lord and Master, how much more will they persecute you? Amen. If you stand for what Jesus Christ stands for. Now, if you don't stand for anything, it's easy to be popular. If you don't take a position on the Word of God, you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Amen. But if you stand upon the precepts of God's Word, you're not going to be popular with the world. Amen. Because the things of God are enmity with the flesh. The carnal mind can't understand the things of God. Amen. They are going to think that you are strange. Amen. If you're a true child of God, and you're going to suffer because of it. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with afflictions those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus, now listen to this, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, how's He going to come? In flaming fire. Amen. When Jesus Christ is going to avenge you for your tribulation and your trial. Amen. Amen. When He's revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. This is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. And so, God is going to punish the world of ungodliness. Amen. Because of the church. Amen. We're the apple of His eye. Amen. God cares about the church who's been born of the water and of the Spirit. And He's going to bring judgment upon those who persecute the church. Those who refuse to obey the gospel. Amen. Those who reject the Word of God. Amen. A careful study of the Word of God. Amen. Shows that when God uses the word wrath. Amen. In Revelation. That He does not use the same Hebrew word that He normally uses in other places in the Scripture. But He uses a much stronger Hebrew word in connection with His day of the Lord judgment. Amen. Because the wrath that God is going to pour out, amen, upon the world of ungodliness, amen, is a wrath like this world has never experienced before. God has withheld His judgment. God has withheld His wrath. But we are very quickly, we are moving toward, we are counting down the hours when God is going to come back and He's going to judge the world in righteousness, and He's going to vindicate the people of God who stand for what's holy and righteous and true. Amen. God's wrath Amen. As it's spoken of in the book of Revelation, is not mentioned until after the sixth seal is broken. The first mention of wrath is in the book of Revelation, is in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 17. So the first six seals and the seventh seals, amen, have to do with the birth pains. They have to do with the events leading up to the day of the Lord judgment. And before that judgment day comes upon the world of ungodliness, God is going to take the church out of here. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. We're not going to be able to put our finger on the exact time of His coming. But one thing I know, before judgment day, the church is going to be taken out of here. Amen. Because we're not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. And it is not mentioned. Now, there's tribulation is mentioned. Amen. As we study Revelation chapter 6, the first seal is broken. We see the revelation, the beginning of Antichrist. And the second seal is broken. We see war. And peace is taken from the earth. The third seal is broken. And we see economic collapse, financial markets caving in. That we see poverty. Amen. For the Bible says, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And so in the midst of this economic calamity, we see that there are others that are enjoying prosperity. We see prosperity and we see economic poverty. Amen. Side by side. Amen. During this period of time. And then we see with the breaking of the fourth seal. And when it opened the fourth seal in verse 7, and I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth. Now there's 6.5 billion people in the world today. The Bible says that 1/4 or 25%, one out of every four individuals, amen, will be under the power of this pale horse. And death and hell followed with him. And a fourth of the part of the earth, amen, he was given power over it to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death. And with the beast of the earth. Now, the Bible tells us that there is a day coming when those who refuse to bow down to that image, that refuse the mark of the beast or the number of his name, that they will be given two choices. They won't be able to buy or sell without the mark. The two choices are if they're not willing to die, amen, or death or hell. Those that are confronted, a fourth part of the earth will have power over them, and he will kill with the sword, again with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the earth. Amen. This is the beginning of tribulation. And the fifth seal, we see those who were slain under the altar. What were they slain for? They were slain for the Word of God and for the testimony which they held. The Bible says they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now we don't know how many martyrs there are going to be, but there are going to be a great number that are going to give their life for the cause of Jesus Christ. Amen. That will refuse to bow down to the image. Amen. They like Shadrach. We like to talk about it. Amen. We like to use it as an illustration in Sunday school. Amen. It's one of our favorite stories about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How that when the music began to play and they were commanded to bow down, they refused to bow down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar set up. Amen. But one day, that's going to become a reality. Not everywhere. 75% of the world is not going to see that. Only 25% is going to see that kind of condition. Because the Antichrist will rule over 10 kingdoms. Plus the kingdom from which he comes. He will take control of the 10 kings and rule over them. Amen. His scope, his power is limited. Then his influence will be felt worldwide. Anyone that has that kind of power, amen, to overthrow kingdoms is definitely going to have an impact upon the economies of the world and upon the relationships of nations. But the Bible says they will have power over 1/4 part of the earth. 25% of the world is going to face that decision, death or hell. Amen. I don't believe that we will be affected to the degree that other nations will be affected that are in those areas that are directly under the control and the dominion of the Antichrist. But you can believe with everything within you that as a Christian, as one who stands for what is true, one that stands for the things of God, amen, for the principles of God's Word, amen, we will be persecuted. We will be, amen, despised. We will be hated. Amen. Just as Jesus said, you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And you say, praise the Lord. Amen. So these things are coming upon the world. Amen. Difficult times are coming. Amen. Jesus makes it very clear that tribulation, he said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Now, if the four horsemen, the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, the pale horse, amen, are bringing judgments, amen, then we know that we must be prepared, amen, to go through those judgments, because these are not the wrath of God. This is the activity of man. This is the wrath of Satan. This is not God, amen, punishing, amen, his own people. God is not going, God never puts anyone to death, amen, for serving him. God doesn't fight against his own people who are faithful, amen. But these are judgments that are coming because that men stand for righteousness, amen. So we see that during this period of time that many will be slain for the Word of God. And because of the testimony which they held. God doesn't punish people for standing for the truth. This is not God's wrath. God doesn't punish the church for being true to His Word. Come on now. God didn't throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire furnace. But he went in the furnace with them. I want you to know that Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always." How long, Lord? Even to the end of the world. Amen. That he is faithful, that promised. He's not going to forsake the church. Amen. He will walk with us through the fire. He will take us through the tribulation. Amen. And we will come out victorious. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. And the sixth seal. Now, this one is very important because this sixth seal is the same sign that is given in the book of Joel concerning the day of Pentecost. Amen. Now I'm gonna try to wind this up tonight a little bit early because I know you've been sitting a long time. And I beheld, verse 12, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Now the Bible says the sun was darkened and the moon was turned to blood. That was one of the signs in the book of Joel. Before the pouring out of the Spirit. You see, that after these signs, amen, God takes the church out of the world. Amen. Those faithful Jewish men and women, amen, who have been faithful to God's Word, they are going to receive the Spirit of God as it's poured out, as it was on the day of Pentecost. The Bible, now what happened on Pentecost was the same thing that God's going to do, amen, in the nation of Israel in the last days. But if you'll read carefully, Joel chapter 2 and verses 28 through 32, those events were primarily focused on the end time and what God is going to do in restoring Israel as a nation in the latter days. The Bible talks about the nations being gathered to the Valley of Decision and so forth, which is right before the day of the Lord. All those events preface the day of the Lord and what the Lord is doing. So in verse 13, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their place. Now Jesus in Matthew 24, in Luke 21, and in Mark 13, in all three places where he spoke of the end of the age, he said immediately after the tribulation of those days shall what? The sun be darkened. The moon turned to blood and the stars would fall from heaven. Remember the fifth seal, we see the martyrs of the great tribulation. And the Lord said that they would, that he would avenge them, amen, because of what was done to them. He would avenge those that persecuted them after, amen, their brethren and their fellow servants who would be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And then the Lord would punish those who, amen, persecuted the church. Now the Lord Jesus said immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun would be darkened, the moon turned to blood, the stars fall from heaven. This is exactly what we're seeing here in Revelation. And the same thing that we see in Joel chapter 2, verses 30 and 31. And the heaven departed. And verse 15 says, and the kings of the earth and the great men, these are the ones that are left behind, because the church is already taken out of there. Amen. When this takes place, when this is the sign of the Son of Man. Amen. That's when the church is taken out. And the heaven departed. And the king of the earth and great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. I want you to know when the rapture takes place that men are going to call for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them because they will realize that it's too late. They waited one day too late because the door will be shut. Just as God shut the ark, he closed the door. The same day that Noah and his family entered into the ark, the rain fell and judgment came upon the world. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. As soon as God shuts the door of heaven and the church is in heaven around the throne of God, amen, they will begin to cry out for the rocks and mountains. And this is what they'll say in verse 16. Fall on us. And hide us from what? From the face of him that sits on the throne. They're not looking at a man on a white horse. Now we know there are two phases of the second coming. The coming back for the church and the coming back with the church. When he comes back with the church, he's going to be riding on a white horse, leading the armies of heaven. Is he not? Every account in the Bible that talks about the last phase of the second coming, when he establishes his rule on the earth, he's riding on a horse. But they don't see somebody sitting on a horse. They see somebody sitting on a throne. Why? Because judgment begins at the house of God. We're going to be caught up to the throne. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. We're going to be at the throne of God. Amen. To inherit the kingdom that's been prepared. It's the foundation of the world. Prepared for a prepared people. But what will be a day of rejoicing for the church will be a day of judgment for the world of ungodliness. That's why they cry, say, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sits on the throne. Every eye is going to see Him. Every tongue is going to confess. They're going to see Him. That's why they said, hide us from His face. You know, why would they want to hide from the face of something they couldn't see? Amen. The rapture is not going to be something secret. It's not going to be something done in the dark and people wondering, I wonder what happened. They're going to know what happened. When the rapture takes place, I guarantee you the world is going to know. Amen. That's why they're going to cry out for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of the one that sits on the throne. Why? Because they know that the wrath of God has come. Amen. Hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from thee. Can you read that in your Bible? What does it say? Wrath. And we're not appointed to what?
Wrath.
So we're taken out before wrath. We're taken out before judgment. We're taken out before the trumpets. We're taken out before the bowls. We're taken out before God pours out His wrath and indignation upon an ungodly world. But what does that tell us? That there's going to be some difficult times coming. Amen. We're not going to get out of this world scot-free. I don't know where the teaching originated historically. I don't know who the first person was that determined that the church would not suffer, because the early church, sure, amen, was misled if the church wasn't supposed to suffer. What happened to the apostles? What happened to the first century church? They were beaten. They were put in stocks. Amen. They were beheaded. They were exiled. In fact, the one who wrote the book of Revelation was in exile on the Isle of Patmos, and people think that the church is not going to suffer tribulation. It'd be hard to convince him of that. And he's the one that wrote the book. Come on now. But we're not appointed unto wrath. Big difference between wrath and tribulation. Persecution and tribulation. Amen. We're going to endure. Throughout the Bible, the Bible talks about enduring tribulation. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to be hated. We're going to be despised. Amen. But that never held the church back. Amen. In fact, the first century church was strong. It was a revival church. They said, they that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. I'm going to close with this note. I believe that the church of the last day is going to be a church, amen, that shakes the world. A church that's vibrant. A church that's alive. A church that's founded upon a sure foundation. A church that believes in holiness. A church that believes in separation. A church that believes in the whole truth of the Word of God. Even the compromisers, the deniers. Amen. All I can say is, let God be true and every man a liar. Anyone that would teach something that the Bible doesn't teach, amen, is in dangerous ground. Amen. Can you imagine a book? Amen. The Bible says God wrote it for the church, but he don't. There's no use of really paying any attention to it because you're not going to suffer. Kind of makes you wonder why he even warned us. It kind of makes you wonder why it's there. It doesn't have any meaning to the church. I kind of think it may be those letters that were written to the seven churches. Every one of those seven letters, amen, amen, give us end time applications of conditions and events of the last days. Even though they were written to a historical congregation that had application to their local situation, they had eschatological implications that reached far beyond their day, that reached down to the end of time. Amen. I don't believe those seven letters are in there just for history, so we would know what was going on in Thyatira, what was going on in Sardis, what was going on in Ephesus, what was going on in Laodicea, what was going on in Philadelphia. They were written for our example. Amen. So that we might be prepared for the things that are coming upon the world. But oh, thank God. Amen. He said, don't be afraid. He said, because I've overcome the world. Hallelujah. We are called to be saints. We're called as saints of God to be victorious. Amen. We're going to be victorious. Amen. There's a trouble coming in Israel. Israel is going to sign a treaty with the Antichrist. But that doesn't mean God doesn't love them. But there's going to be a remnant of Israel that's saved. There's going to be a small group of Jews that refuse to bow down to the image, that refuse to embrace the Antichrist. Amen. And God said, I'm going to reveal myself to them. And when they realize who he is, amen, they're going to worship Jesus. Amen. They're going to proclaim him. And when he comes back with the church, he's going to rule and reign over an Israel that knows who their Lord is. In that day, there's going to be one Lord and his name one. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he's going to rule in Jerusalem. The Bible says, and Israel will share a third part with Assyria and Egypt. He called Assyria and Egypt his people. You see, God has a much bigger plan than we can ever... Amen. God has got a much bigger plan than we can even imagine. Because God's will is to see people saved, not to see people lost. Amen. It doesn't do God any pleasure, amen, to see people go to hell. God wants people to go to heaven. Amen. God doesn't delight in bringing damnation upon the world, but he delights in delivering people out of damnation. Praise God. Oh, I'm glad that I know the Savior today. Hallelujah. Amen. We've got to be willing to choose Jesus. Choose you this day whom you will serve. We're going to either going to choose to serve the Lord, or we're going to choose to serve the Antichrist. Amen. The Bible says those that held the truth in unrighteousness, God is going to send them a strong delusion so that they will believe a lie and be what? Be damned. There are people that have heard the truth. People that have had opportunity after opportunity, amen, to come to God, that are going to go to hell because they did not heed the warning of the Word of God. God said, I'll send a strong delusion. God said, I'll delude them, amen, so that they'll believe a lie and be damned. Why? Because they held the truth in unrighteousness. If you know the truth, amen, you need to walk in the righteousness of God. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's not coming back for a worldly church. He's not coming back for a church that looks like Jezebel. He's coming back for a church that looks like, amen, and is a holy bride.
Yes, that's right.
Fit for a king. God bless you. Amen.